So, the topic for this morning is individual, parents, and community. And these are three areas of responsibility that exist, and the overlap that lies within. Where is the crux of responsibility when it comes to an individual? So just as an example, this comes up all the time in the news, comes up in many psychological studies. Here's an example from just a few years ago. In Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, they were having issues. This is a CNN article about flash mob attacks from these young adolescents, juvenile delinquents. And the mayor of Philly gave a very fire and brimstone speech in church that around this time. And he lashed out, and just in the area which is circumscribed there, it says, the mayor lashed out at the attackers, saying, "You've damaged yourself, you've damaged another person, you've damaged your peers, and quite honestly, you've damaged your own race." On Monday, Natter said, it signed an order reducing curfews to 9 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays for people under the age of 18 in Center City, the heart of Philadelphia's downtown and University City, and neighborhood to the west of the University of Pennsylvania and Drexel University are located. The rest of the city curfew remain at 10 p.m. for people under the age of 13 and midnight for the age of people under 18, and there's a breakdown of the fees of curfews. So it's just flipping over the page in the article to the very end. He says the following: teens need to make better decisions. Parents need to step up and take care of their children. We as a government cannot raise people's children. You want to have children? You have to take care of them. It should be something obvious, and I think it's something that's obvious in our community, perhaps, but it needs articulation. Natter said that city authorities are working to be more anticipatory about things that are and not just reactive, and are using social media such as Facebook and Twitter. But ultimately, Natter said, the problem stems from the home life. What are parents doing with their children? Do you know where your child is? And this is one of his very, very strong speeches about the topic. And what he's essentially saying is, you see, there's three people who bear responsibility in this particular instance. Here you have these kids on social media grouping in certain places. They beat up certain children, and they create havoc in downtown Philadelphia. So what he's saying is on the one hand, we as the state, we as the city, will impose certain curfews. We will try to impose certain restrictions in order to be able to guide and educate these kids. At the same time, they themselves bear responsibility, and their parents would bear a responsibility. Now, although it's very hard on a legal level to, maybe on a civil level, maybe it might be different, but to be able to actually say that the community or the parents are liable for actions of teenage kids, there's different ages of liability. Nonetheless, the question is the one of responsibility, not necessarily liability. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to think about it with these three pieces of the pie and how they intersect and where they overlap. I wanted to take the following question, and that is when we look at responsibility, where does responsibility stem from in a Jewish life? So, as an example, there are many ways of looking at this, but I just thought it was very fascinating. Let's start appreciating. We've got Parshas Tazria approaching us rapidly, 6 days away. Parshas Tazria, one of the first mitzvahs discussed in Parshas Tazria, is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Now, Bris Milah is a fascinating mitzvah. Bris Milah is a mitzvah which actually intersects all these three categories. And if we were to explore on a halachic level and then reflect on this on a philosophical level, we yield some very fascinating responses. So let's start from the very beginning. We know about Bris Milah first time in the Torah. Where? Where is the first time? Avram Avinu, right? So we know at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, and at a critical moment in Avram's life, before he is about to become a patriarch, because he has had a child, but the child's not going to be his descendant. So, Avraham Avinu is about to become the patriarch. Hashem says, in order to get there, you need to have this idea of this bris, this covenant between us. And the way that the pasuk describes it, if you can turn to the first source, this is in Bereishis Perek Yud Zayin. Hashem says, so it's a covenant between me and you and your children. So, the parties involved are God and, seems almost like, Jewish community, Jewish progeny. Then in Pasuk Yud Dalet, he says, V'arel zachar asher lo yimoles besar alasoy v'nichrosay nevesh ahi me'ameo es bresi hefar. In Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Pasuk says that there's very high stakes for this. Now, apparently, this is interesting because it's so much an element of identity as a Jewish person. Avraham Avinu is about to now beget the first, we'll call it, Jewish continuum. It's so necessary to Jewish identity that should a person not do it, then they suffer the consequences of excommunication from the community, kores, a very severe punishment, which is not usually found when not doing a positive commandment. Very fascinating. We have to ask ourselves, when does that come into being? Meaning, at what point in time does that kores take effect? You know, meaning, does it mean the moment that a child isn't circumcised? When does that take effect? It's a very severe punishment, which the poskim actually deal with. Then in Pasuk Chav Gimel, what actually happens? Who performs this mitzvah? Ultimately, it is Abraham on behalf of the rest of his family. So that means including himself, including his 13-year-old son, Yishmael, which is, by the way, why the practice is in the Muslim world, right? Circumcision is later. And it is on all his property, meaning to say at the time, all his servants who are Yelidei Beis HaMiknas Kasboy, he circumcises. So the responsible party in the first milah we have is the father, right? The father or the owner. In this respect, is now the responsible party in terms of ensuring the identity or the we'll call it the eligibility of his children and his possessions in the first time we meet Bris Miller. Next other time we meet Bris Miller is
get Chorus, the father, if he doesn't.
Great question. Meaning to say, who? It sounds like the apostle is saying who bears the responsibility of Chorus is. No, sounds like the person themselves. Meaning the responsibility of Kari sounds like it's reflecting on the person themselves, but nonetheless the father is the responsible one to do it. Which is why, what was that? Okay, fantastic. So the next option is we move into Parshas Shmos. Parshas Shmos, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu has his second child, Eliezer, not yet named. And he is on the way down to do God's bidding, to set God's people free, and it is Bederech Bamalon, and somehow some type of enigmatic plague takes over Avraham Avinu, and his wife saves the day. Tzipora takes the sharp stone, circumcises the child. Fascinating why they wait till then. It's a very fascinating background as why Eliezer's bris waited. And what happens is she saves her husband, and there's this enigmatic phrase, Ki chasan damim lamulos. But nonetheless, it seems like here, when the father was not able, was not performing the duty that he should have, who takes the responsibility is the mother, right? And she saves the day on behalf of her husband and perhaps even the child. That phrase, chasan damim lamulos, is a very, very shady phrase. We have to understand the Gemara in Nedarim spends a bit of time understanding what that is. Moreover, when we get to Perek Yud Beis and Shmos, where we're about to enter into, which is Pesach territory, we know that Israel are told before entering into the covenant or eating the Korban Pesach, there needs to be circumcision, because kol orel lo yochal boy. No uncircumcised male may eat from the Korban Pesach, which is what, even though it's not as explicit in the Pesukim, it does say Bnei Yisrael did everything Moshe Rabbeinu said, and the Midrashim all learn out of here that this, in fact, is what happened. You know, this is not part of the general, you know, in the picture book. This is not what you're seeing happening sequentially in the plagues, but nonetheless, there was Bris Milah, a national Bris Milah, before they were able to partake in Korban Pesach, which is why we say in the Megillah, in the Haggadah, still hanging on to Purim, where we say in the Haggadah, that two bloods are bloods of Korban Pesach, but preceded by bloods of Milah, which now seems to take it to a new level, because who is the responsible party now? It's a community. It's not a parent of you, it doesn't talk about it. It sounds like the community as a whole had the responsibility of entering into Bris Milah, and that's in fact what they did. One more time, the community is involved, is that when they enter into the land of Israel, it seems that there was a break. It seems from the Pesukim that there was a break of the Dor HaMidbar. Now, the Dor HaMidbar did have circumcision, but the next generation that was born in the Midbar did not have circumcision, because and the Gemara talks about that the circumstances were dangerous to have Milah. So the moment they came into Eretz Yisrael, at the banks of the Jordan River, that is where Yehoshua circumcises Becharvos Tzurim, these sharp rocks, circumcises all the males of the Jewish people. Once again, it seems like the responsibility is one of a community, right? So now, bearing that all in mind, just from the before we even get into the Gemara and the Mefarshim, just looking at the Pesukim, we see different shareholders in this responsibility. We see the responsibility of the individual, the parent, the owner, and then also we talk about the community as a whole. So it's Daf Shtreidim. So how does this play into Halacha? Mishnah tells us a very fascinating thing. Mishnah in Kiddushin Choftes Amud Aleph. Very fascinating Mishnah. Has lots of interesting things to think about in terms of education. Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvah abein al ha'av anashim chayavim v'nashim paturas." Any mitzvah which is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon a parent to teach their child. The Gemara actually goes gives examples. So, for instance, mila pidyon aben, teaching Torah, marrying off, teaching a trade, teaching to swim, even. All those are mitzvahs specifically on the father more than and there's not a chiyuv on the mother. However. If the responsibility is that on the father, then both the parents are involved in this. The Gemara goes on to go through all the examples. La muloi, jumping down to circumcising. Minalon, how do we know this? Tichsiv vayimol Avraham es Yitzhak benoi. We know that Avraham Avinu circumcised his son, so therefore the responsibility is particularly on the father. Now the Gemara goes on to say, let's say the father did not take on the reins of his responsibility and not circumcise the child, the Beis Din is now responsible, so the Jewish court is responsible to take over from where the parent was no longer performing their duties, because there's an idea that all males should be circumcised. That's beyond the responsibility of a single parent. That's lachem to you, meaning community, which is what we saw sort of the pattern of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Yeshua. And let's say parents are not playing their role. Let's say that community is not playing its role. Based in as representative of the community is not playing its role. Then the Gemara concludes, Mechayev Ihu. The person lemim hil nafshe. So the Gemara says that we see that the pasuk puts such a high penalty on not circumcising. That penalty is only afforded to or applied to the person themselves. So the way the Gemara tears it is, how does responsibility work in this particular mitzvah is? Parent or father in specific. Father, community, self.
It's only because it's Mila.
So now, you're right. This is specifically for Mila, and part of the reason why this is more complex is because the child is not in a position to be able to perform the Mila themselves. Right? Meaning to say the Mila is something which is prescribed at the age of 8 days, and regularly a baby is not able to perform Mila at that point in time. So of course we need to have other parties responsible. So the question I'd like to ask is the following. There's two ways we can look at this. Number one is when you look at this dichotomy of father community. So are those overlapping responsibilities? If you want to sort of take it in a step out of the bubble of Mila, you know, so let's say you're a parent and you have a communal responsibility in the education of a child. So are they overlapping? Or is the community only there to fill in when the parents are not playing their role? So how do those two work together before we get to the child themselves when they grow up? Are they overlapping responsibilities or are they sequential responsibilities when the father is now stepping out of his role? This is the question arose in the following response. The Tashbetz brings a very fascinating question to the table. Here's the question. This is why it's so fascinating learning responsa literature. This is source number 7. The reason why it's so fascinating learning responsa literature is because you can't make up the cases. Real life presents you with the most remarkable circumstances. So here we have the story. There's a young man who's born on the second day of the month of Av, which means to say his bris is going to be on Tisha B'Av. However, the father said, there's a problem over here because if the bris is on Tisha B'Av, then what are we going to miss? The Suda, we can't do a bris without a Suda. So the father said, we need to push off the bris to the 10th of Av, which is the 9th day of the child's life. And the community said, no, you can't push it off. You don't have to have the Suda with the bris. Nonetheless, the father was adamant, we need to make sure that people are able to eat at the bris party for my son. And he waited and pushed off the bris mitzvah of his son till the 9th day. And the question of the community, so let's remember the parties here. The community is asking the Tashbetz, what should we do to this man? Because we know, on the one hand, all that he transgressed was missing Mila Bizmano. So there's nothing, we don't see any real punishments for that, but can we put this man into a cherem, into a nidui? Can we excommunicate this man because of his lack of willingness to abide by, we'll call it, regular Jewish law? That's the question that he was presented. Now you see why this is interesting, because here is the question is communal responsibility in the face of I don't know if we'll call a neglectful parent, but a parent who's not performing their role as they should be. That's the question that Tash Bates has been asked.
Fascinating
question.
Parent.
Procrastinating, or you have to be careful. The procrastination over here is well-intended procrastination, but nonetheless, well-intended but wrong. So the Tash Bates says, he first of all gives a very important rule. He says, I want to tell you something very important, and that is, when you are in doubt, and there's no Rav to consult, because this is a community, he doesn't have a person with the stature of the Tash Bates himself. He says, when you are in doubt, and you don't know what to do, follow Minhag. Meaning, think about it. Have you ever heard of a bris milah being pushed off because of the Suda? And the answer is, you probably haven't. Which means that it is a good inertia to follow, that you shouldn't be pushing off brises because of... So he says, meaning to say, just for future reference, you know, this takes a while. The letter probably took 3 weeks to get to him and another 6 weeks to get back. You know, by then, it's too late for the game. But nonetheless, just in future, make sure that you follow Minhag. Number two, he makes a very interesting and scary point. And he says, look, you're asking me, and you're saying, look, we looked into the books and we saw that there's no real punishment for missing a mitzvah bizmana. So now, can we sort of ourselves superimpose a cherem on this individual? That's the question they ask. He says, I don't understand. He says, it's very severe when you miss a mitzvah's assay, meaning perhaps you as a community are miseducated, he says in the second paragraph in Saul 7. Saul 7, second paragraph. Is it a small thing to miss, to transgress a positive commandment in the Torah? Are you only concerned when they're big punishments? That's the only thing that bothers you? You know, the Tash Bates is saying, you lost an opportunity to doing mitzvah. And at some point in this paragraph, he says, the punishment of this person is that he lost the schar of mitzvah bismano. You can never make that up. You will have to meet the Creator and explain to him that you missed a mitzvah bismano. So that's more terrifying than anything else. In fact, he goes on to say that in the times of Beis HaMikdash, a korban oiler was brought for that specific reason. That's what we said in the Al-Chait. Remember we said, Al-Chataim Shona Chayim Malem Oiler, the back of the Siddurim there, look in the art scroll, they explain what every korban is brought for. What are the korbanis? The korban oiler is brought for missing an opportunity. Not a transgression, missing an opportunity. So Tash Bates says, let's set the record straight over here. It's a terrible miscalculation to miss a mitzvah's assay. He says that should be a worse punishment than any cherem you could put on him in this world. It's a terrifying thing to think about, you know, in terms of mitzvah opportunities. Nonetheless, he says in the last paragraph.
This is unique. That's an aseh halitak lekum ve'aseh.
Well, it's not nitak. You've missed the mitzvah bizmana. There's no way to make that up. You can.
That means connected. Not nitak.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, in the end of the day, they can fulfill the bris milah, but nonetheless, milah bismano, done, finished, gone.
Now, there won't be a chorus unless he's not about
the second of his life. Yeah, no, so the chorus itself, as we're going to see, the chorus itself can be mitigated.
Right.
According to the rival, maybe not. Okay, one aspect of chorus cannot be mitigated. We'll see in a moment. So nonetheless, on this particular topic, the Tash Bates concludes in the boldened lines towards the end. He says, "V'av al pi she'amru, she'zehi mitzvah ala av, v'im loy malosoy aviv, he mitzvah ala beistin, k'moy she'zkir barishon mikidushin." Wait a second. We know that the beistin has a responsibility when the father is not performing the mitzvah to do it. So therefore, what may have you said in this case? What should have happened, maybe? They should have locked the father in his house, taken the baby, and on Tisha B'Av there in the center square of the town, given Milah. Maybe that should have happened, right? Because here we have a neglectful parent, a well-intended but wrong parent. So does community now overreach parental responsibility? Is that what we say, based on the Gemara we learned? He says, "Kesha'ein aviv kan." He says, that's only when the father's not here. "Aval kesha aviv kan, ein mutzuzu muteles ala beistin." Says the Tash Bates, that the responsibility of Beis Din only kicks in the absence of a parent, when the parent is not able to perform the duty. Here you have a parent who wants to perform the duty in the wrong way. So if the parent's not able to perform it in the right way, then in this case, what's going on? The Beis Din doesn't have the right to intercede in the family business, even though the father's incorrect. That's what the Tash Bates says. Isn't that unbelievable?
How's he learning it then?
So he goes on and says, Sharei Omar b'perek ha'cholets, ein odam mal ben ish, bal korchoi. is a isur. You cannot give mina to somebody's child. Bal korcha va'avapi sheyesh. Before Shimon, he goes on. Well, the way he learns the Gemara is he learns the Gemara in stages. When is it? When is it that the Beis Din takes over? Only in the absence of the parents. That's the way that the Tash Beitz learns it, which is a very fascinating model. What the Tash Beitz is saying is that the responsibility of the father is always there as long as he's able. Should he not be able, she's not there, then there's a whole discussion in the post. What happens if the father's not there? It's the eighth day. Can the community do the milah for the father on his behalf if he's not there? And that many of the Farshim say, yes, of course he can. Of course they can, because that's in the case where the father's not able to. Here the father's able and wrong. This is what the Tash Beitz says. There are those who argue, there's an interesting Morgan Avram who argues, but nonetheless, this is generally accepted as mainstream in terms of the Tash Beitz way of looking at it. So this is when you're looking at a young child, the child's not in the equation, the child's not able. The only two responsible parties are parent and community. Community only kicks in when the parent is no longer able to do it, which is the way the Tash Beitz looks at it. Let's consider another question from a different angle. Let's consider the question, which is perhaps the more Nogaya question, which is, at which point in time does the father or the community lose their responsibility? Meaning, when is a point of time you will say that, look, you know, Sonny, you're 33 years old. So, you know, it's about time. You know, it's about time to give up the pacifier and take responsibility for your life. You know, so what point in time do we say, is there a point in time where the father and the community's responsibility ebbs away? Can you ever say that halakhically as regards to Mila? That's the question on the table. So, yeah, Arye.
Well, when it says that once Beis Din don't do it, then he should do it for himself.
Right, so Arye's pointing out the Gemara, if you read carefully, says that it is in the absence of parents and Beis Din that the chiyuv on oneself begins. Right now, the question is, so does that mean to say, if we're reading the Tash Beis's way, does that mean to say we're waiting for the point that they're all given up completely? Or no, that Ihu, that he himself has responsibility at a certain point. So you may say, well, 13 years old, but remember, who's circumcising Ishmael? Abraham, right? So let's, you know, so we need to just think about this carefully. So, in this regard, there is much thought that is brought to the table. One example is the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch has the following question, which is exactly our question. V'ani misupak im higdil. I have a question. Let's say you have a boy who's now reached maturity. Gamkein alei ramye umechuyav lamul atzmoi. And he is now responsible. So he believes that a child who reaches maturity, mitzvah maturity, is now responsible for himself. Im gamkein mitzvah la'av v'lo nafka mitzvah me'itai. Do you say that the father still has the responsibility? Meaning, does the responsibility of this aspect of Judaism still hang over on the father and there's a dual responsibility? And we'll put it like a based in the wings right now, in the same way as it was before. Oy dilma de mitzvah la'av rak bekat nusay evo kashi higdil ein chiyuv mea mitzvah la'av rak olav. Or you say it's mutually exclusive. That when the child's responsibility kicks in, at such a point, the parent's responsibility, baruch shepochanim yon shol shol zeh, boom, finished. Right? And everybody can say mazel tov, and now who's in charge is Mr. Boy himself. So that's the question that the Minchas Chinuch has. And he has an incredible arichus. So not to diminish the how far he goes, here are some salient points. He says, Miloshon HaMa'arach, he says, Shekosav al mi, he says, V'chulei milas bonova katanim, nirek sas davka benoia v'kotem. So he talks about when the Sefer HaChinuch himself describes this mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch says that the mitzvah of a parent is to circumcise whom? His small children. The way he frames the mitzvah is it's the mitzvah to circumcise his small or minor children, which would indicate, says the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, that it would be that it is only a responsibility when they are minors and therefore incapable or irresponsible to this degree of that. That's the way that he starts off. Then he goes on further. He says, V'ayin v'yoredei, Reish Samach Aleph, he goes to Hilchos Milah in Yoredei, he says, V'lichore de'ikara mitzvah ala av, d'choy shusham b'shas, kol davar she'av m'chuyav l'amul v'liftois. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, which we saw, the in-between part talks about all the mitzvahs a father is responsible for his son. He says, v'liftois, to give a pigeon a ben, u'l'hasiyo isha, one of them is to marry him off. U'l'hasiyo isha v'ade begadusoy, we are hoping that is when the child is not a minor, right? That means to say that the child is clearly an adolescent who's responsible for themselves. Nonetheless, whose responsibility is it? It's the father's. He says, maybe you would say, that the mitzvah minah continues. You know, these are the two sides where he's going in this particular arena. By the way, as the Mincha Chinuch always does, is he presents you a list of nafkaminas. He says, you know, a nafkamina is a halachic difference which would come out of the two sides of his question. Right, so do you say that the child is now responsible fully for himself, or do you say it's a dual track, or once the child has grown up? So he says, I'll give you a nafkamina. Here's just one fascinating nafkamina. There's a halacha that that if you take away a mitzvah from somebody else, you actually are responsible to pay them. The Gemara Baba Kama says, Yud Zuhuvim, a person needs to pay them 10 gold pieces, meaning mitzvahs are worth something. You can't run ahead. You know, somebody's about to send away the mother bird, and you jump in the line and send away the mother bird. And, you know, you say you return the lost object when nobody else is there to return it. So what happens? Is that all right? Is it all right to go and take somebody else's mitzvah? So the Gemara says in the end, that this is la halacha, is that if you take somebody else's mitzvah, you're responsible to that person to pay them 10 zehuvim. You have to pay them a penalty for taking away their mitzvah. So he says, let's say that while this child, who's now 17 years old, and their father are having an argument about who's going to do the milah, somebody else comes and circumcises the child. Right? So who do they take the mitzvah away from? So he says, that would be one example of a halachic. This is just now, this is not a practical example. What he's saying is, in the halachic construct, in a theoretical world, this is how you'll identify the differences between who's responsible. Are you responsible to both the parent and the child, or just the child? That's the way he identifies it. And here's his proof in the pudding. He goes on. He says, "Inay Rambam beperikay milchus korban Pesach." He quotes the Rambam when it comes to milchus korban Pesach, and he says the following. There's a fascinating halacha that applies to Pesach, and it is the following. He says halacha. Hey, the cost of a zeloshana. This is what he says. Keshem shemilas atzmoi ma'akav toy milasos Pesach kach milas bonova katanim umilas avodov ben gedolim ben katanim ma'akvim oisoi. A person cannot bring a Korban Pesach in the days we could bring a Korban Pesach if the person themselves is uncircumcised, or if their minor children are also uncircumcised. Meaning, right? You cannot bring the Korban Pesach. Shenemar himolochem kol zachar mevuar. He says it is clear from this Rambam that what gedolim. He says that it's clear from this Rambam that the only thing preventing a father from bringing a Korban Pesach is either his own milah or his minor children's milah. But once they graduate and now they're bar mitzvah and they're responsible, it seems clear from the Rambam that there's no responsibility of the father that prevents him now from bringing a Korban Pesach. But we just see the breadth of the Menachas Chinuch, you know.
And then it says Kol Zachar, doesn't say.
Oh, fantastic. So where does he get this from? So where does he get this from? One second. So he says like this: Hatam came to mitzvah. All of ma'akvin osa minas avodim al rubam. Afilo avodim chal olav achiyuv oisin arelim she'en ikar mitzvah ala ish. Bevaray en ma'akvin v'chimi akev ha'arel es ha'beistin minasos pesach oy eize ish mi yisrael el davko aviv oy rabbi adkan mishum shamitzvah olav va'aval benoy nilmad mikra dov yimol avram v'chulei kashetziva osoy imkain gazra toira devar of debon of ma'akvin. So he says that the way the Rambam is doing it is like this. Even though it says Kol Zachar, nonetheless, the way we learned it out in the Torah originally in the Gemara and Kiddushin was that Avraham Avinu circumcised his child. So he says the fact that Avraham Avinu is circumcising his child is prescribing where the mitzvah responsibility is, and therefore it's only on a katan, which is interesting because in that as well is Yishmael. Nonetheless, the Gemara learns it out from specifically the circumcision of Avraham of Yitzchak, which now is the parameter he feels for this Rambam. That's the way he views it. Right, so apparently, it's interesting. Apparently, Avraham did that, but the Gemara is learning it from the fact that he circumcised Yitzchak, which means that the source of the responsibility is from Yitzchak. It may have been that this was just a...
That was the first time.
Right, it happened to... Right.
Yishmael was the first time. The Yitzchak is the prototype for generations.
Correct. It's interesting that, you know, because it might throw a wrench in that, but nonetheless, the Gemara seems to ignore the Yishmael model as being what seems to be our model over here. This is the way that he learns that the Rambam is just below in source 10. We're not going to go through it inside. So this is what the Minchas Chinuch concludes. Happens to be, we don't have a large amount of time because unfortunately there's Leviathan. So I want to just make sure just to cover one or two more One or two more points. The question which is of this responsibility is very clear in the way the Minchas Chinuch sees it. Is it goes parent, parent, parent until the point of maturity, then it becomes children, the child's problem themselves. That's the way he's looking at it. However, the Rashba is talking about a particular case. He's talking about Pidyon HaBen case. This happens all the time. In fact, in YU, there's in the JSS program, which is a beginner's program, this happens numerous times where you have a child who was the firstborn and didn't get a Pidyon HaBen. And, you know, at 20 years old, they'll have a Pidyon HaBen party. You know, they grew up in an environment in which they weren't afforded a Pidyon HaBen, and so Pidyon HaBen is done. So the Rashba has asked the question, is what happens if there's a child who didn't get a Pidyon HaBen, and now everybody realizes they needed a Pidyon HaBen, and there's an argument between the father and the son as to who should be, you know, who should be doing the Pidyon HaBen. And the community at the time, because remember they didn't have access to the Rashba at the time, said that both the child and the parent should do it together, and they'll both pay the coin. They'll both pay the coin, but none of them will make the bracha. So the Rashba concludes. He says that clearly it is a mitzvah. The Pidyon HaBen, which is lumped in the same group as Mila in this case, is going to be on the father. However, in the last paragraph, he says, Emil, imratza ben niftosis atzmo, ben sheesh nechosim la'av, ben she'en loy pedos. In the end of the last paragraph, in source 12, he says, midichsiv tifdeh, there's a responsibility on the individual themselves. The way he looks at it is, the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is obliged on both the parent and on the son. So therefore, whoever gets there first is the lucky party to be able to do that mitzvah, the way the Rashba understands it, which means the way he looks at it is he looks at it as a dual responsibility. Even though a child grows up, even the child is mature and responsible, and mechuyav, nonetheless, the father's responsibility, the father's chiyav continues as a parallel track, the way the Rashba looks at it, which is very fascinating as applied to this. What was that? So the way he views it is he will look at this as the framework for which Miller works as well, and it's not a contradiction. Because remember, the Minchas Chinuch is based on the Rambam. He isn't subscribing to the Rambam. Rashba is his own person, and he will be able to say that there in fact is a dual track of responsibility. We don't have time to get into the words of the Rivash right now, but the Rivash does make a fascinating observation where he feels that ultimately it is really still the child's responsibility. But the child's not able to do it, like Shmuel was saying at the beginning, which means that the father's doing it there isn't because the father has a responsibility, but rather the father is performing a shlichus. The father is a messenger for the child up to the point that the child can do it themselves, which sort of lends itself more to the Minchas Chinuch way of looking at things. It was never the father's responsibility, it's rather the child's responsibility, as opposed to the way the Rashba is looking at it. Very fascinating. It's interesting to do the casework. We're not going to follow through on that particular aspect now. The reason that there's two things I would like to just cover with you in the as we conclude. First of all, just to remind ourselves, so we started off talking about how the Tashbeth talks about the communal responsibility only kicks in when there is a absence of parental responsibility. We talked about how when the child matures, when or if does the parental responsibility disappear or does it continue? And now what we'd like to continue to think about is the degree or differences of that responsibility when it comes to the community and the parents. So the way the Rambam focuses this is in source 14. The Rambam says a very fascinating thing. He's talking about the different brachos of Mila. He talks about how the moel makes a bracha, and there's a. He talks about the mitzvah alamul and ala Mila, and then he says, in the second line, he says va'avi abein mevarech bracha acheres. The father of the child has a special bracha, which is bracha toshem lekan meyucholam hashem kishonim mitzvah etzivonu lachnisa bivrisa shel Avram Avinu. Mitzvah, so there's a special bracha. Mitzvah al ha'av lamul es benoi, yeser al mitzvah shemetzuvim Yisrael shiamulu, or el beshev eneihem. Then the Rambam says, although it's true that the based in the community of responsibility to this child to make sure that no child is left behind, no male child is left behind when it comes to Mila, nonetheless, there's a difference in degree of intensity of that mitzvah. How so? Lefichach im ein sham aviv, ein mevarchin acharea bracha zu. Says the Rambam, that let's say the community had to take responsibility for this child. Nebach, there is not a father or mother to take responsibility for this child. And the community themselves needs to make sure that a milah takes place. And we know this from many, many Russian Jews who came across. So the community takes responsibility to do milah. says the Rambam Nahalacha, there is no bracha of Lachnisa Bervisa Shel Avraham Avinu. Meaning to say that actually qualitatively, there is a difference in the responsibility of the community towards the child as there is the parents towards the child. Rav Asher Weiss actually makes a very fascinating note on this Rambam. And that is that Milah, Bris Milah itself, has two layers, two tiers of what it is achieving. And he goes to the Gemara in Adarim on Lamed Aleph and Beis in the next source. He says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer, Me'usa hi ha'orla shetiskanu bo ha'roshayim. We know that the foreskin is something which is disgusting, something which needs to be, it's an imperfection on the human and needs to be removed. Shenemar kikol hagoyim arelim. There's a description of all the other nations being arelim, and it's used in a derisive way there. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yishmol Omer, Gedoyla Mila, Shenichrusu Alea Shloshesrei Brisois. The Rabbi Yishmol frames it is so important, it is so significant, that there are 13 brises which are surrounding it. Now, why is it 13 out of all? In Parshas Lech Lecha, as Dr. Honigman points out, the word bris actually appears 13 times, which means there's a significance about there's a 13-tiered bris, which is to be found in Bris Milah itself. So you're noticing something interesting in this Gemara. Within two lines, the Gemara is telling us two things. Number one, why do we do Bris Milah? Because?
To mitigate
an issue, a real problem, which is arelus, a person being uncircumcised. However, we don't only do it for that, because we're also talking about there's a certain connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'akimoisi esprisi. There's an establishment of covenant, a very strong covenant, a connection. Do you see, one is a movement from negative to neutral. The second line is a movement from neutral to positive. Says Rav Asher Weiss, maybe that's what the Rambam is telling us. When you talk about responsibility of a community and a parent, maybe that's exactly what's going on. When it comes to the community's responsibility that there should not be an RL, a person who is living a subpar existence, because they now have, we'll call the foreskin, this lesser mark of community on them. However, their father's responsibility is one tier above that. The parent's responsibility is not simply to ensure that their child is not negative. The parent's responsibility is to ensure that he's positive, that he's got the bris, that he's got this connection. It's the same action. Nonetheless, when the father does it, when the father takes responsibility, there's an extra bracha, lachnis abirisa shal Avraham Avinu, because he's taking the child somewhere, not just simply saving him. And this is a very fascinating model for thinking about the responsibility of community and parents. Community may be responsible to make sure there's no damage done in a community, but the parents are responsible to make sure their children get to the next stage. That's the way the Rambam is framing it. Fascinating. Let's zoom it out one more layer. The Rambam Pirush HaMishnah, so you could just flip back for one moment into Rambam Pirush HaMishnah on the 19th chapter of Shabbos, which is the Perek of Rabbi Elazar de Mila. The Rambam describes this responsibility. And listen to how careful the Rambam is. He says the following. It's also 11. He says, "Olam ein loy tashlumim lemitzvah zu, v'arei avonoi chamur mimi she'avar olav chag ha'sukkos v'lo osa sukkah olel pesach v'lo ochal matzah." It's very severe. If you miss this out, it's more severe than a regular mitzvah assay that you missed out on. Elo she'im calls in loy niftar min ha'mitzvah. You're not, nonetheless, even though you missed out, you still haven't lost the full obligation of the mitzvah. Elo adayni mitzvah v'mechuyev lamulo tamed. There's a constant mitzvah to circumcise. We call zman sheloy malu, harayu ko'over al mitzvah assay she'giyah zmano. Every moment that a person is not doing circumcision, there's a constant loss of time of doing this mitzvah. At that point in time, as mitzvah takes place, then the avera disappears. He says, "V'kol misheroy es hayeled hazeh ha'arel v'loy malu hareze over al mitzvah asay ad shi'imol osak ilu hu benoy." Unbelievable! The Rambam. This is the Rambam's antidote for the a bystander effect. So the Rambam says is that, you know, you could be driving along the road and you see somebody who has a problem on the side of the road, and you can just make sure that you're looking the other way, so you carry on driving and you're making sure that nothing's happening and you're all right. And you'll think about it before you go to sleep at night, and you'll forget and you'll carry on living your life. Nonetheless, the Rambam says, "Kol mishiroye." Anybody who sees a child whose identity is lacking, they don't have a bris milah, and you turn a blind eye, you are already involved You're already involved in the case to the degree that you have the responsibility. Do you see what the Rambam is saying? Is your responsibility as another shareholder in the enterprise of Israel is such that it demands from you the responsibility from anybody like they would be your son. That's how far the Rambam says it. Fascinating. Fascinating. The question is the Rambam saying over here, that this, does that mean to say you're supposed to run up to the child and, you know, and take care of the child right there? Not clear. The Rambam is saying, nonetheless, there's a degree of responsibility which is incumbent upon the person.
Right.
Doing it as a member of the community.
So say again?
He's wearing the hat as an individual of the community.
Correct.
Rambam is not saying it's the halos, you're taking the place of the father.
Correct.
You are doing it as an individual.
Correct. And you would be in a tier of Beis Din. So we have to bear this in mind in regard to the Tashbetz. Remember, the Tashbetz is putting a stop in that relationship, meaning you can't do it in the face of the father. But the Rambam is talking about a case where you're seeing it where there's nothing being done. The child's being left on the side of the road. That's it. There's nothing else. Then you as the community fill in for the lack of obligation, which is the way the Rambam is seeing it over here. It gives us a bit of a pause in terms of this. You know, there was a famous story in Russia, when the Soviet Union was in its full strength, about parents. You know, there was a ranking officer in the Russian army who wanted to have a bris milah for their child, and he, if he was to do that, he would be court-martialed and likely imprisoned. So there was a whole court case where what happened was is that the man wants to divorce his wife because his wife, he went away one morning and he came back and the child was circumcised, his 8-day-old child. So they brought in front of the Russian court and the wife said, "What? I was there and I walked out the room for a moment and then my in-laws or my parents took the baby out for a walk and they came back and he was circumcised." And so the parents were put on the stand and the judge said, "Well, what is happening?" And he says, "Well, we were walking along and a man jumped out and said, you know, do you want this child to be part of Israel?" And they said, "Yes." And then he did it and that's how it happened. And in fact, interestingly enough, it was actually a ruse. There was this whole court case. It's a famous story. This was a ruse in order to be able to make the family, to take the responsibility of the family so the child could be in fact a Jew, but the family wouldn't be imprisoned for the fact that their child was circumcised because the father's ranking status in the Russian army. In fact, they actually named the name of the mohel was a Chabad Shliach. This is in the 20s. There was a Chabad man. This day was before the Shlichus. His name was, I actually have this very fascinating story. His name was Rav Chonya Shagalov, who was in fact one of these people who risked their lives to help people have the circumcision. You think about this, a man walking around the streets looking to be able to circumcise children. Like it boggles the mind at the threat of death or Siberia. This is the degree of responsibility. When the Rambam says, "Kol mi sheroeh," gives you a new sense of awareness. You know, for me, it's something which makes me pause and think about things, you know, because, you know, as it relates to the responsibility of Bris Milah, but as it relates to general responsibility, just the other day, our car wouldn't start and the battery went, you know, it was dead, and of course it was a very important morning and everyone needed to go out to work, and so we tried jumping the car and of course the car was not jumping. I learned that sedans don't jump vans. That was my lesson in the morning. Nonetheless, the car was halfway through in the middle of the street, and I couldn't jump it. Now what am I going to do? I had to push it back up the driveway. Now, the van weighs a lot more than me, as you can probably imagine, and I was busy trying to push this van back up a driveway in the middle of the street, and there were so many people who were driving past, and they all slowed down just to look and then drive on. And the only person who stopped was Eric. Eric was the mailman, and not even our mailman. Eric actually doesn't work on our block. He was driving up the block. He stops his mail truck and he comes and he pushes the car back into the driveway for me. And it made me think to myself, is if I was the person driving by, would I be too busy to stop for others? And this is just an interesting thing. Are we too busy sometimes in our lives to ever stop? Does it take a mailman to realize that there's a responsibility beyond themselves? And I think part of what this sugya calls into action is, first of all, the importance of the role of the parent and the grandparent in education beyond that of the community. You can't send your child to school and say, you know what, I'm going to pay them to do all the education. You have a responsibility. But nonetheless, more than that, as individuals of community, we have a responsibility to others. Call me Shiroi in the case where there's no other responsible person taking action. These are just words, food for thought, for hopefully bettering our community as we are in this very room.